26th, 2010. The first item on the agenda is the confirmation of an appointee to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency Citizens Board. Mr. Jensen, welcome to the committee, and please introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself, and what you hope to do on the Citizens Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dennis Jensen. In my real life, I'm the general manager of the Duluth Transit Authority. I actually work for a professional transit management company, which you may be familiar with. We used to operate the Metropolitan Transit Commission back in the early 80s. It was then known as ATE. I'm now their most senior employee. We've been purchased over the years through different corporate entities. First was Ryder Systems back in the 70s. We now, my employer is known as First Transit or First Group. We also operate the First Student school bus fleet within throughout the United States. Actually, I think we operate about 88,000 school buses. My job in Duluth is the general manager, but because of my tenure with the company, they also use me as kind of a area manager, region manager. So I also supervise our public transit operations in Iowa, Wisconsin, and South Dakota. As Minnesota, Duluth is the only one as a public transit operation we have. We also operate other local services within the metro area, but my specialty is the management of public transportation systems, which we also operate in Green Bay, Sioux Falls, Dubuque, Davenport, and Rock Island. My background is basically I've been in the business for about 37 years. As I said, I'm their most senior employee now. I've lived in Duluth 31 years this summer. Married, my wife's a registered nurse. I have three children. I have a son who's a just recently returned from Iraq to her duty, four grandchildren. My interests are basically public transportation, but also my duties on the MPCA is a clean environment. I think public transit adds to that role greatly. This summer we'll be doing a major project with MnDOT in Duluth, diverting a lot of local traffic onto the bus system through a unique program we've developed there to do some park and ride lots while they're doing their major construction on Interstate 35. I have been on the PCA Citizen Board. I believe I'm going on my fourth year now.
Well, tell us about your experiences on the board and what you think you've been able to contribute, what you've learned, and what you hope to do in the future.
Well, I replaced a board member. I'm not sure if you were familiar with Mr. Sid Mason, who had been on the Citizen Board for many years. And his legacy was the Stryker Bay cleanup in Duluth. And he delivered a carload of documents to me and told me, you have to study these because you're going to have to be familiar with this. Well, fortunately, the project was completed about that time, so I didn't really have to become that knowledgeable about the Stryker Bay cleanup. But what has amazed me is the the breadth of the responsibilities that the agency has. Not only was it the clean water issue, which he had been involved with, but it's also air quality, feedlots, which we have a particular case going right now, which is up for hearing tomorrow, but also the ethanol industry, and I can go on and on. What's impressed me about the agency is the depth and the professionalism, of the staff at the agency. And I just sat through the transportation hearing here, and I believe that Senator Murphy made a comment about we can't be expected to know everything, so we have to depend on staff. Well, that is very true of the PCA Citizen Board also. I could not possibly be an expert on all the different issues that are brought before the board. However, we do rely heavily on staff. And in most cases, it's still an independent citizen board, and we do have instances where we have overruled staff recommendations and required different actions from the permittees or other proposals. So it is a it's kind of time-consuming. The volume of mail that I receive on a daily basis is taxing on the postman. He brought that to my attention several times. And I even have requested that I not be notified of you know, the routine matters, but there are a lot of regulatory issues that have to be addressed through the agency, and the staff makes a good effort to make sure that the board's fully informed of each one of these. We, as I said, there's been some major cases since I've been on the board, the 3M issue in the metro area, the tire burning facility down in southeastern Minnesota, and then, of course, the ethanol applications come through, which has kind of slowed down now because of the economy, but there's still a lot of issues coming before the board that are very important to the environment in Minnesota. And I said it's a real educational process. I learn a lot as I go along.
What was your position on those projects?
I voted with the majority most of the time. In fact, it is all the time. I think on the tire burning plan in Preston, I think the board required we overruled a staff recommendation, which was not to require an environmental impact statement, and we requested that they be required to submit an environmental impact statement, which I guess was too much for the proposer to complete, and so they withdrew the project. And it varies on the issue. I like to use common sense when it comes to some of the issues before the board. And there's, you know, because there are some of these matters that are still pending, I really, you know, hesitate to comment on this time. But I think that once I look at the staff recommendations, I evaluate what the staff position is. And then I also spend a lot of time reading the citizen comments, because I'm supposed to be representing the interests of the citizen, not necessarily, you know, what the staff wants to do. And so I take a great time to carefully review the opposition points, not necessarily those in favor of different projects or permits, to see what impact that's having to the ordinary citizens. And I think that's how I base my decisions on what the citizenship is looking at, and again, just using some common sense in some of the issues.
Questions, Senator Fredrickson?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Jensen, I was looking at your biography and your records of employment, and it's not clear to me what the relationship is between First Transit Incorporated and the Duluth Transit Authority.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Fredrickson, the Duluth Transit Authority was actually the first public transit agency that came under contract with the management company I worked for back in 1970. And they've maintained that contractual relationship since 1970. Now, since that time, the initial company, which was AT Management Company, has gone through ownership changes. We've been bought out by different corporations. So we have renewed our management contract up there. I think it's about 15 times. I came to Duluth from Laredo, Texas in 1979. So I became the general manager in Duluth in 1979. I was also still working for the same company in Laredo, Texas, and before that in Baltimore.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Jensen, but so do you work for First Transit Incorporated or do you work for Duluth Transit Authority?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Fredrickson, I work for, my paycheck comes from First Transit, but I'm assigned at the Duluth Transit Authority.
Senator Scogin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Jensen. Could you comment on the pace of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency when it comes to permitting and helping people get in place to do business in this state?
Chairman, Senator, the pace has improved considerably, and I think that was one of the goals that was established by the former Commissioner Corrigan, and I'm sorry, it wasn't Commissioner Corrigan, it was
Moore.
It was the previous commissioner to Commissioner Ng, to speed up that process. And there is a kind of a score sheet which the board receives, and I think that it's almost now to the point where the permitting process is probably happening twice as fast as it did in the time when I was first appointed to the board. I know that that changes as the regulations change, and there's more requirements, you know, of the permittees, particularly, and it depends on, again, on which area we're talking about, whether it's ethanol or feedlots or industrial disposal. But I know that, you know, the reports that the board receives shows that there is a great improvement in that regard.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair. Mr. Jensen, are we making progress in creating some boilerplate language where ethanol plants, if they look alike and act alike and respond alike, are they going at a much faster pace, feedlots, ethanol plants, certain things will always kind of look the same?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, in regards to the ethanol plants, that was a special request from the Citizens Board that action be taken, that there be some type of a streamlining of that process, because it is so drawn out, as you've indicated, that we try to make those more in tune with, you know, one another, that there are certain principles that apply to all of them. And then, of course, depending on their siting and their water supply and disposal, then there are some issues that are unique to each system. But we did try to do that because it seemed like we were taking up an inordinate amount of time with the Citizen Board, you know, reviewing each one of those proposals. And I think that was a request that was actually made to the legislature also by the agency. In regards to the feedlots, I know that has greatly improved also. Again, the reports that we receive on the status of the permitting project show that the staff and the commissioner at the agency understands that, you know, they have to speed up that process in order to, you know, meet some of the requirements of the permittees. A lot of things are timed to the weather in Minnesota, and that becomes a key factor, so I know they try to address those issues.
And, Mr. Chair, if I could just follow up one more. Mr. Jensen, is there something the legislature can do to help the MPCA?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I would say that to make sure that it's adequately funded, I know that the state's under a budgetary constraints, and we do receive, you know, reports from the commissioner as to the funding for the different activities they're involved with. I think it's important that this agency particularly be looked at as kind of a key agency, because anything that's let go will come back and be a bigger problem later in the future. So I think it's important that you make sure that there is adequate funding for the agency.
I've got the language, Chair, when you're ready.
Senator Dill.
Well, Mr. Chair, Mr. Jensen, I was a little distracted when you were saying one thing a few minutes ago, and I think you said that you base decisions on common sense, which sounds like a great way to make decisions. But just before that, I think you said something about you make decisions also based on how the project may affect the people. Did you say something like that?
Yes, I did, sir.
Okay. Was there any other basis for your decision-making besides those two things?
Mr. Chairman, yes, Senator Dill, of course, I do look at the total package that I receive on whatever the issue is. And then, of course, when we do the monthly meetings, we receive testimony both from the proposers and also from the staff. And you have to listen very carefully to what's being stated at these meetings, and a lot of it is conflicting testimony. So at that point, then you really do have to start using a little bit of common sense to determine, you know, how you would look at it as a reasonable person. Is what is being proposed, and I will use an example, if I may, as the tire burning plant. The agency had conducted tests to determine that, I believe it was their recommendation, that the impact of the carbon would not be that significant based on the test that they had completed. But when you looked at the test they had done, which is, I think, about I could be correct or incorrect, but about a 4-foot by 4-foot square burning of tires in a very scaled-down version. But then they modeled that as to what the impact would be on a much greater burning of tires, and it was something in 1,000 of tires a day. And their test model showed it would not be that much of an impact to that area. But I could not see where you could take a very small test like that and extrapolate that into the much bigger test and not have what I would think would be a direct impact to that community. And so that's when I said, I you know, you kind of have to use common sense there, because when you burn a tire, it is a tremendous amount of pollution that's emitted, and I didn't think that the test that the agency had conducted was adequate.
Mr. Chair, if there aren't any further questions, I move the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources recommend the appointment of Dennis Jensen as the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency Citizen Board be confirmed by the Senate.
Further discussion or questions for Mr. Jensen? If not, on the motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Mr. Jensen.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Committee.
Next person on the agenda is David Bennett for the Clean Water Council. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Bennett.
Thank you, Senator.
Kind of saw how we were approaching the discussion. Please introduce yourself and tell us about who you are and what you've been doing on the Clean Water Council and what you'd like to do here on in.
Yes, my name is Dave Bennett, and I'm a resident of Burnsville. Married 32 years with adult children, and I have, this is my reappointment hearing to the Clean Water Council. I've served 3 years, and in addition to that, I've also served on the DNR Citizen Oversight Committee for 15 years, which I just retired from last fall, and served on the Budget Oversight Committee for 5 years at the end of my tenure. And I'm a Lake Superior fanatic. I fished Lake Superior since 1971. When I came to Minnesota after graduation from college, I worked for Boise Cascade Paper Company in International Falls, and subsequently moved down to the Twin Cities. And my experience on the Clean Water Council has been very gratifying. The council was divided into four work groups, and I served on the Outcomes and Research group during that period of time, and ended up being the chairman. But currently the work groups have been disbanded and a budget committee has been formed, and I currently serve on that budget committee.
Senator Farisel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bennett, what are the length of the terms?
My first appointment was a two-year term, and they were staggered, so some folks were two-year terms and other folks were four-year terms.
Four, okay.
Senator Scogin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I know a couple weeks ago Senator Dill had hoped that we could at some point find a felon, but at least now we have a fanatic, I think I heard him say.
Mr. Bennett, a
little bit about Clean Water Council and the fishing organization, and how they might, fishing organizations might perceive Clean Water Council, and how do those two get along and marry together when you're sitting in committee?
Mr. Bennett?
I think quite well. I go to the DNR roundtable meetings every January, and there are was interest in the activities of the Clean Water Council in 2009 at the roundtable. And I urged Galen Reitz of the PCA to make a presentation at this year's 2010 DNR roundtable on the PCA and the Clean Water Council, because I think the sportsmen are very interested not only in clean water, because it's, you know, necessary for our sport, but also on how the money is being spent and what we can expect to see in the way of projects. that will aid clean water and, of course, our fishery at the same time.
A follow-up, Mr. Chair, just on your personal kind of perspective of the Great Lake, of Lake Superior.
Yes.
Over the number of years that you've fished it, has it changed?
Mr. Bennett?
The fishery has changed dramatically. It's very dynamic. When I first started fishing Lake Superior, the sport fish that was most available was the steelhead, which is an introduced rainbow trout that's established itself in the lake over 100 years ago. And the reason the steelhead fishery was so great was because the lake trout fishery was depressed due to factors such as maybe overfishing commercially and sea lamprey. And as the lake trout population became reestablished, there was efforts to introduce other species such as coho salmon. Brown trout were introduced. Chinook salmon were introduced. Atlantic salmon were introduced. And the efforts of these planting programs came and went basically in the 80s and somewhat into the 90s, became less successful. And most of the surviving fish that were a result of those efforts are naturally reproducing in the lake now. But the lake was a lake trout lake probably since the beginning and a brook trout lake. And it's very much returned to being a lake trout lake today. We're a little concerned that we're not seeing the brook trout populations that existed. Of course, Lake Superior, the world's largest brook trout that was ever caught came from Lake Superior. And we haven't seen that rebound, and we're not quite sure why, but it's been dynamic.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Bennett. We had a large group of appointments last week here, and we asked the group what they thought about the expenditures from the Clean Water Legacy Fund, whether they thought they should be a larger player in saying where those dollars go. What's your feeling about that?
Mr. Bennett.
I agree. From the perspective of the fishery people, the boots in the stream, however you want to refer to them, they like to see projects that have immediate impact and hands-on type stuff. Our group has done over the years a lot of tree planting and riparian zones and bank erosion control projects and things like that. And it's those types of things where we can see a tangible result rather quickly, of course, have a lot of interest to the anglers.
Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Bennett, you have an impressive list of accomplishments as an engineer. One caught my eye. I was curious what you did for the Ellsworth Co-op Creamery, and I assume that's Ellsworth, Minnesota?
Ellsworth, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, okay. Then I want to ask the question. Ellsworth, Minnesota is down south of Worthington.
Yeah.
Mostly what they're famous for are really good basketball teams.
No, it's Ellsworth, Wisconsin. It's right across the river.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Bennett, looking at your resume here, I was going to suggest when you tire of being on the Clean Water Council, maybe you should consider the Pollution Control Agency Citizens Board, because it looks to me like you have a lot of good expertise that could be put to good use.
Mr. Benson, I'm personally interested in more money out of the Clean Water Fund being spent on aquatic management areas. Is that something you think you could advocate strongly for in the next round of clean water funding?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, if I'm sensing things right, I'm seeing, and I guess maybe this is more of a question or an unknown, the Lessard money, it looked to me like is shifting a little bit more towards land, prairies and things like that. And I've been asked that question of, by anglers of, you know, when can we see more of this clean water money come into such things as aquatic management and clean water projects? It's hard for a lot of anglers to relate to things like TMDLs in long-term things. And certainly it's part of our job to interface and educate that long-term things are necessary also. But sometimes short-term things that you can see a management or improvement or restoration project unfold over a couple of years and be able to identify with that improvement quickly. Gives you a good feeling.
Well, I personally hope that the Clean Water Council and whatever recommendations come out next year include a healthy dose of funding for aquatic management areas. Senator Vickerman, did you have your hand up?
No, I'm...
Senator Dill?
This gentleman here can certainly do the job. I can just tell it by listening. So you don't need 100 things on a piece of paper. I use my eye contact and my intelligence. I love your beard mustache. I wish mine would get
it. It used to be a different color.
All of ours used to be a different color.
Have you read much Hemingway? You'd look great with a corn cob pipe, too. Senator Dill.
I was going to bring the pipe, but the sign said no smoke.
Senator Dill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm just going to make an inquiry here. I noticed that Mr. Jensen's application has got some economic data on it, investment data, but there's none on Mr. Bennett's. Is that a difference between the two councils or the two bodies? Okay.
What is the, Mr. Knopf, why is that?
Mr. Chairman, the Clean Water Council, they're not public officials for the Pollution Control Agency. They are public officials and subject to all of the laws relating to public officials, whereas the Clean Water Council, they were never made public officials.
Senator Saxog?
Well, Mr. Chair, I know we'll continue discussion, but I'd move that the name of David Bennett be nominated or approved and sent for as a member representing fishing organizations on the Clean Water Council be moved and sent to the floor.
Senator Parasol.
Mr. Chairman, members, as I look through your this page with all your information on it, you are a member of some very elite working groups. You've got some good colleagues there, and I think you've got a lot of good experience and probably they all work together quite well, I'm sure, because some of these people are before us in other commissions and sometimes before us in committee.
Before we vote on the motion, because after we vote on the last motion, people will start shuffling papers and get up to leave, I want to mention that this is perhaps our last meeting of this committee. And in case we do not meet again, I want to personally give my thanks to Senators Vickerman, Fredrickson, Parisot, and Dill for their hard work and contributions to this committee. We could not have done the work we've done on this committee without you. The Senate is grateful for your work on environment and natural resources, and I want to make sure that this committee formally recognizes that. So thank you all for your hard work. All session, we've obviously had very hard work from our partisan staff or nonpartisan staff, Mary Ann, Donovan, Jenna, and our interns, and I want to thank them for all their hard work this session as well. Yes. I believe everyone got notice of a baby shower coming up this week, so.
Is that a fact?
On the motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. And the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.